the phrase, be ye perfect as your Father, comes very strongly to mind. And you say to yourself, at least I do, how can I be perfect as my Father? My Lord, aren't they expecting a little too much? No, they're not. You must be perfect as your Father. This stands in front of us, each of us. God is saying to you and to you and to you, be you perfect. Just perfect in your concept for what perfection is, but as perfect as your Father is perfect. And while you're shaking your head, going away mystified, wondering how in the world, how many centuries will it take me to do that? And can I do it in 10 centuries? It doesn't seem possible. And yet the Father says, be ye perfect as your Father. And the secret of it seems to come to me. Can it be possible? Can it be possible that we are perfect? And then it occurs to us that the Son of God is perfect as the Father. Are we not the sons of God? We don't have to become perfect. In fact, we can't. There's no way to become perfect. You'd have to be a less than perfect now. And he can only manufacture what is perfect. He made a perfect you and a perfect me and a perfect him and a perfect her. But he made one perfection. We weren't separated as we are now. He made a perfect son. So the idea then of being perfect as a Father, fortunately, is not impossible, because you cannot be anything but perfect now in your real self, in your invisible being. So we can start with the assumption that I thank you, Father. I know that you made me perfect, and you expect me to stay perfect, to dwell in the secret place, and to ever be worthy of your perfection with my own. To get my humanhood up to the place where that perfection is. And the way to start that is to get the humanhood out of there. It isn't here. It's a concept in every possible way, from the moment of birth to the moment of death. Be perfect as your Father. Now, this is a difficult part. God doesn't live here in time. And it's impossible to continue in time and to be perfect as your Father. You cannot live in time and be perfect as God, and that's it. You have no choice. Fact is, whatever he says to us to do, we want to do. We don't want any choice. We don't want any leeway. We want to do precisely what he said. Be perfect as your Father means you've got to live outside of time. So that's our problem. in time, everything is trying to be perfect, but it can never make it. I suppose John Kennedy wanted to be perfect. He also wanted to be a good president. Some people think he was a good president. But he didn't strike me as being perfect. The difference between Kennedy and Christ is quite apparent. And I think we may not have realized what happened in the Christ life. Kennedy was selected by the mafia for a quick departure. You might say Christ was too. It wasn't the mafia, but it was some group that felt he was in the way. They looked him over and they wondered how they'd get away with it and what they would do and how they'd do it. And anyway, they came to this trial by night where they just went through the charges in a hurry and that was it. Then they went to the next one who was ahead and he did it just the same way. And then they went to the third one and there he was. Crucify him, let's go. Let's get it over with before people get wind of what we're doing. So in the early morning, they crucified him. Now that's what I want you to look at very carefully. The illusion of crucifixion is very difficult to decipher. But I know you will decipher it. The crucifixion was an illusion. They put up the man they called Jesus. Then they got the centurion to do his job. And they gave him every bit of an execution as they had given all the others before. But they were not capable of getting what they wanted in the result. And I'd like you to see why. What they saw was an image in time. And they crucified that image in time. And that's all they crucified was an image. The world has never discovered it. I don't think anyone has given much thought to come up with the answer. You may be the first tonight, because the image in time that they crucified was dead to them. They buried it, so forth. Christ lived outside of time. That's one thing not even the churches are aware of. Hardly anyone in the world is aware of it. Christ was living outside of time, and it was impossible to touch him. When this sinks in, you'll see why it's revealed to you. The crucifixion of anyone in time is an illusion. All you can do is bring human death to a human being. You can't crucify the spirit. They thought they could. They didn't know he was a spirit even. They thought he was another man. You can't crucify the spirit. All you can do is go through the motions, feel satisfied with yourself, and then go home. But Christ isn't there. It's an invisible wall between spirit and the flesh. When Christ stepped out of a wall, talked to the disciples after his so-called burial, this was coming out of the illusion back again into form. Now we're going to see that, and we're going to try to duplicate it. Not tonight. You'll spend your time, and I'll spend mine, getting out of time. Because if you try to duplicate it in time, you will not. You'll have to be, as Christ was, timeless. And then when they try to crucify anyone or hurt you or do this or that to you, or even a simple thing that they want to do to you, there's no way to get to you because you're in a different dimension. And so the lifting of us to the fifth dimension is going to lift us above time. There will be no time in the fifth dimension. In the fifth world, we live without time. And you may consider it quite a thing because you wonder how people get things done. Well, first of all, we won't be as limited as we are now. You won't have a million years in your way anymore. The timeless universe is your destination. How do we prepare for it? What do we do? Besides all the things we've been trying to do. We don't let time creep up on us and fool us. We get rid of it if possible. And if you don't get rid of it, you'll find it does creep up on you. The only way not to die is to get out of time. The last thing you were thinking of. But it's the first thing that Mary's mother, Anna, I'm going to leave for a little while. And when she came back, she had a child, which she had delivered through immaculate conception. And she had gone out of time. And then Mary the same. At the age of 13, she stepped out of time. This was a wonderful thing, a difficult thing, but she could do it, and we will do it because she could do it. She went out of time, and Christ was born. When he was born of Mary, he was out of time. Everybody in time didn't know it because they never heard of it. Never heard of it. So it may seem strange that the world hasn't heard of it, but it's only in this world, the four kingdoms. In the fifth world, I suppose everybody knows it. And that's where we're going. We're going to learn how, in a measure, we can't just step right out of time. Nowhere to go. You don't know how. I don't know how. We can't do it that quickly, but we're going to learn how to step out of time. And then when we learn how to step out of time, we got to go one more step. We've got to learn how to stay out of time. And all of that is dependent on a lot of things. And we'll go into what Jesus did to do it. We'll see, first of all, that you have to be in a body not like a human being. A human being can't step out of time. Doesn't matter how intelligent he is, how informed, how devoted. He's got to transform before he can do it. That's in store for us. You may not do it in January of this coming year, or in 10 years, or 50 years. That's what you'll have to do. That's what I have to do. And yet, we know someone who did it, don't we? Besides Jesus. In fact, many of the masters in the Bible attained it, but we had Joel. And Joel did it. Stepped out of time. A human being that we knew became a spiritual being and stepped right out of time. You so close, so human, so everything that you are. He had all the vices that everybody has, to a degree. Probably played poker on Saturday night. He had a few enemies who didn't understand him, but he stepped out of time. That's his great achievement. Without it, he'd just be stuck in his own teaching and it would be only words. So there's hope for us. There's hope for every single one of us. If you know what you've got to do and you know people have done it, obviously it's possible, and you just got to make certain sacrifices to do it. The biggest sacrifice, we've already done many of them, but when we get down to time, we got to start sometime to get rid of it. Well, you're going to have to be at the office at 8:30 or 9. That's a problem. You look forward to 5 o'clock to getting off. And you're teaching your children, and they come home and they have stories of time. And it's all part of living to them and part of living to us. Well, it's not really part of living. It's non-living. Just going through the motions as a masquerade. So then, we look at time in a different way. How much have we prepared for this? Have we ever thought of what we're going to do to step out of time? Do we still think it is kind of silly to do it? Can we tell anyone that we want to do it? What do we think about it? So I suppose some of us may think, well, I've heard of strange things than that, but I don't know if I want to do that. That's your privilege. The teaching is that when time is no more, you will have an opportunity to step into the fifth world where time does not exist. A good reference to the point is right here. You may have heard it before. Revelation 10:6. It's very pointed. Talking about an angel stepping up and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth, things that are therein, and the sea, and the things that are therein. Who said? That there should be time no longer. Revelation 10:6. That's the only reference to there should be time no longer. Because it's the last thing you'll ever do. Get above time. It's buried in Revelation for some reason, but it's here. That there should be time no longer. In the fifth world, there's no 10 of 7, 10 of 8, 10 of 9. There's no hurrying to get to work. There's none of this and none of that. There aren't even 24 hours a day. There are no days. There are no weeks. There are no months. That's all time. There are no years. Imagine living that way. Time, what we think is a century, doesn't even exist. We certainly must come to a different level of development. Or all wizards figure things in a instantly. There's no problem to anything. Now that's called the fifth world, but it's the soul realm. It's the soul realm. And it's our next step. So it's a good idea to start thinking now, if I live in my soul, it'd be too late when I get there to start. I'd better start here. And you'll see then that a lot of the things that your mind thinks are real are confiscated. Because the mind only knows what the mind knows. It may be a great mind. It may win all awards for its scope and its penetration, facts that it has known. And you may be proud of your mind and of your son's mind. You may be the principal of the school. All that goes behind us. We're not interested in anybody's mind. Even Einstein's mind. We're interested in the soul because it alone is capable of existing in the fifth realm. The fourth realm is the one we're in. Length, height, width, dimensions. Everything figured out to a certain level, we can understand it all. It's all gone, no more. In the fifth realm, man is finally free. He doesn't know a single thing about dimensions, about the rate of doing this is against the rate of doing that. He is a free soul. When you live in the fourth dimension here, you develop certain habits. They're necessary habits because the cultivation of these habits to the point of proficiency depends on your being very familiar with them. And then you're called upon to drop all the perfect habits. The soul does in an instant what the mind takes 100 years to do. It's called the Christ mind. But we can call it the soul. I would say that they're similar. Identical, in fact. The Christ mind and the soul of an individual are one and the same. As you come into the Christ mind or the soul in the fifth level, your world changes, of course. We see now with the usual five senses. And sometimes we have a sixth sense, which is very helpful. But in the Christ world, we don't see with the mind. We see with the soul. And then you say, well, if you see with the soul, what are you? How developed are you? And the answer is you're quite young. You're an infant child with a soul that is greater than any mind on the earth. An infant child with a soul that is capable of living in heaven. In the kingdom of God, well, what do you know? There's no one there to commit sin. No one. And all the riling we do against sin is part of the masquerade. When you measure the distance that we have to travel from what we are to what we will be, you find that it would be impossible. How could I do that, get there? There's no way I can manipulate or even be taught to do that. And you're not going to be. You are there. Right this second, you are in the fifth world. Right this second, you are in the sixth world. That's the spirit world. The soul, the fifth. Spirit, the sixth. Right this second, you are in the seventh world. You cannot become it. You are it. You're simply not aware of it. The soul, will find the spirit. They will become one. This is development from the level we're at. And in their becoming one, the child will be born. And the child will be in the seventh level. And each child born is the same Christ illusion. Until it is born in the seventh level, and then you are the Christ. That's the way it goes. What you do now determines how quickly you'll get there. But you see, it's already done, because God isn't building human beings and then building them into angels and then building them into something else. God's work is done. And us, in the level we are, slowly become aware. And as our awareness increases, we discover we become what is known as the fifth world or the soul, but we only become what we are. As we discover the sixth world, we become aware that we are spirit. And finally, we become aware that, oh, I am the Christ. And then we are. You have all of that knowledge to draw from. Now, in this world, to facilitate your leaving the ignorance that says I am immortal, and it makes the other impossible to reach because mortals can't go anywhere. They're the only ones who appear to die. Now, when you're in the fifth level, when you're outside of time, and you can do it from here, you'll find there's no death reported. No one's going to come around with a chart saying these have died and these are living. There's no death reported. There's no one who's died in the fifth, sixth, or seventh level. And to learn about this in such a way that it makes an impression on you, that you may be certain of the fact that death, mortality, is only a human experience. It's not a fact because the human, you've got to hear it, the human does not exist. He seems to, and will continue under that impression, and will even think that we die, because the human, when he's no more, we think he's dead. But there is no death because there's no one to die. And it's very sad when you see one of your family dying. But you're one of the few who know, even though it hurts. You're one of the few who know that he's not dying. The evidence is very convincing when you get it, the things that happen. And then you see what I was sad about, almost ready to commit suicide about. Never happened. Now that's part of your teaching. You've got to learn to come above this so-called unhappiness. Now every disease that you have is only in the world of time. If you were out of time, you couldn't get a disease. No one in the world of timelessness is under a disease. It just doesn't exist. It's only an illusion that it exists in this prior world. Now, that's the fact. As you dwell with it, I think you'll be ready to say, it must be so. I don't see any other way that it could be. We can't go on dying. What kind of a God are we thinking about who makes imperfect people who have to go to hospitals? I have been fooled, that's all. I have lived with the illusion of imperfection. In truth, I would know nothing about it. What kind of a God would kill a mother who's in birth? Or it sounds stupid when you think about it. It doesn't happen. It happens in the world of make-believe, which to us is the true world. But here and there, someone comes above the world of make-believe and says, you mean my mother didn't die? Can I really believe that? Do I have any evidence? The only evidence you can offer this young boy or girl is to educate them to the reality of spiritual identity, to bring them up to a level where we are now and finding it very difficult too, and finally getting them over that level. You can't dismiss the sadness of the world just by talking about it. But in time, you find the ability to step above the belief and to realize that whoever has died in this world was only pronounced dead in the fourth level of being. And that when this individual returns and eventually becomes capable of reaching the fifth level and discovers that he is in the fifth level, he'll only discover what is true now. Everyone is perfect as the Father. How else could we expect to be perfect as the Father? Be perfect as your Father. Realize that your identity is now perfect as the Father. So we shall meditate and try to realize that our perfection doesn't really even depend on what we do. We were created in the perfect image and likeness of God. What we have to do is to follow the teaching of Christ, who is the only teacher we recognize, and bring our being into harmony with what he taught, so that eventually we can come above the illusion of all of the time world, the material world, the illusion of even goodness or badness, every possible illusion in the human world, and step over that line into the kingdom of heaven. It's probably one of the most, if not the most, glorious achievements that we can ever make. When we have discovered it, there's nothing else we want to do, because we are going to be perfect as our Father in our consciousness to equal what we really are, or else we're going to make that backwards and forwards, learning how to get rid of the undesirable elements in our life. But if we can come through the illusion of undesirable elements and realize that we are now perfect as our Father, somehow we'll be granted the divine privilege of knowing who we are. Anyone you meet is perfect now. In this world, he may be going to an electric chair because he's done something he shouldn't. And he's got a long way to go. That's all in the illusion world. I think we have a head start on what we must learn. How we'll go about it. And some of the truth we know is aiding us in developing the courage to face the problems we face. All illusory. You got to make a start. Got to live as the Christ directed. The only way you can overcome the illusion is to try to be perfect as your Father. When you reflect for a moment on what you would have to teach someone else to come up to our present level, you got to teach more than you could possibly get to the person in a certain amount of time, and you're going to have to do it in the field of time, and you have to teach him some illusions in order to teach him truth. It all seems kind of impossible. And I feel that we could count our blessings because, in a sense, we're on a mountaintop looking at our past. And if we are true to the truth, we can live on what we have learned, take courage in hand, and say, my God, how lucky have I been that I have had this opportunity to study truth, to feel truth. There's no way I could learn this just by myself, by picking up a book. It's so complicated. So many twists and turns. But I feel somehow that most of the twists and turns have been covered by now. I can talk to an individual and rejoice within myself that we're going to make it without saying a single word, just about it, just knowing that we're doing it, we're moving in the right direction. We face some of the hard things already. And you find that that's more true than it was 5 years ago. We have faced some of the harder things. It's true we faced illusions, but we faced them. And we've eliminated them to a degree. And there's some more illusions that are very real to us coming up. But I think I can face an illusion today better than I could 5 years ago. Probably there'll be harder illusions to face than I have faced. The point is that education has been spiritual, not factual, so that we are more equipped to walk in the world and not be seduced by many of the things we see, hear, feel. My ambition will lead me astray. I think time is premature for rejoicing fully, but nevertheless, I feel very contented about the distance we have traveled, because it makes possible traveling the next distance. And I know it's an illusion. We must find within ourselves the soul. It is the device or the weapon, the ability, the God-given way of eliminating the errors of the mental world, of looking out on the first phases of the kingdom of God. The soul world is the fifth. Spiritual world becomes the sixth. When you reach the seventh, you have no place to go. You have arrived. You are living in infinity. I can't imagine what infinity is like. I can't imagine a universe as God is living in it. But all I can do is anticipate that it is the most incredible truth is to think about it, to try to detail some of it, staggers your mind. Let's pause for a little while and then come back and see if we can finish this level of the journey in a way that will give us courage and hope, make us feel the possibility of success. I'll see you in a little while.